Thank you. Listeriosis is a pretty rare disease. We don't see very many cases in Kansas over the years, but it does have a pretty significant public health impact. It has the highest hospitalization rate among foodborne pathogens, and the overall case fatality is 16%, but among newborns it can be as high as 50%. It has a very long and variable incubation period, 3 to 70 days, which makes sometimes interviewing individuals pretty difficult. Healthy persons have really asymptomatic infections, or they have very mild febrile gastrointestinal illnesses. And higher risk adults or higher risk groups have particularly very serious invasive disease, and pregnancy-associated infections actually can result in fetal loss. In February of 2015, this year, we had a PFGE match of 2 of 5 strains of Listeria monocytogenes. We were following 5 different patients with stays at Hospital A prior to their onset of listeriosis. There were PFGE matches to environmental samples, their ice cream samples collected in South Carolina. And we did have some common food histories that we were looking at over these 4 different patients. The case definition we used was culture-confirmed Listeria monocytogenes in a patient with a prior stay at Hospital A from December of 2013 until January of 2015. We did collect food histories when they were available from the hospital. PFGE was performed by our state public health laboratory, and whole genome sequencing was performed at CDC and at FDA. We did conduct an environmental inspection of the hospital, and we also did collect environmental samples. And those were conducted by KDHE and the Kansas Department of Agriculture with assistance from the Food and Drug Administration. So on March 2014, we had identified 2 different cases, and they both had stays at Hospital A, and they both had 2 different PFGE patterns. One had onset of illness in January of 2014, the second was in March of 2014. And they did reside, as you can see by the map of Kansas, they did reside in 2 different counties. Only 1 food history was available because the hospital had changed computer systems, and person who had onset of illness in January, that hospital food history was unavailable. We did not have any cases for 7 months, and then we had 2 additional cases that were identified with onset of illness on the same day. They had previous days at the same hospital, different PFGE patterns once again, and we did collect food histories on those 2 individuals from the hospital, and we had 4 different counties now with cases. January and February of this year, we had our first PFGE match. The person with onset on January 2015 had a PFGE match to 1 of our October 2014 cases. They all had hospital stays prior to their onset of illness at a single hospital, and 4 of the 5 hospital food histories were available. In South Carolina, they were conducting routine ice cream samples, and it was Bluebell ice cream, and they were positive and matched 4 of our 5 patient strains by PFGE. So we had 4 different counties of residence. We had 3 females, all over 55 years of age, all were hospitalized at Facility A prior to their onset of illness, and we had 3 deaths associated with this outbreak. The incubation period really could not be determined because they had multiple ice cream exposures throughout their hospital stays. It was a very, very common food item. As you can see, at Hospital A, they had many people had vanilla shakes, chocolate, strawberry shakes. The shakes were made with a Bluebell product. It's called Scoops, and it's made in the Brenham, Texas facility. And it's just a little prepackaged little scoop of ice cream that can be just thrown into a blender with milk and flavoring, and they are made to order for patients at this hospital. We also had patients consuming the little 3-ounce containers of ice cream, and we had strawberry and chocolate. The hospital kitchen was inspected on April 15th, and we did environmental and product sampling on April 16th, and you can see the machines that made the shakes, and we sampled those pretty extensively. All 22 environmental samples at the hospital were negative for Listeria monocytogenes. 46 3-ounce containers of ice cream from 24 different lots were collected from the facility and were negative. And 1 3-ounce container of chocolate ice cream was positive for Listeria. And this was produced at the Oklahoma plant. Prior to this, we only had evidence to suggest that the Brenham, Texas facility was having a Listeria contamination issue. but this was the first time we actually had a second plant implicated. Four of the five patient strains were very highly related based on whole genome sequencing, and multiple products from the single line at the Texas production facility, including those scoops, were highly related as well. They were less than 18 alleles apart. The recalls began on March 2013 and finally ended on April 20th when Bluebell Ice Cream recalled all of their products from all of their three facilities. This outbreak was really difficult to detect. We had cases that were very few and far between. We had a 7-month break between cases. We had four different PFGE patterns, four different counties, and we only had one facility with patients. And that was a little concerning to us because we were thinking, what is going on at this facility? Because we did know that Bluebell actually delivered to other facilities in the state of Kansas. However, I did find out yesterday that that this was the only facility that was actually receiving those scoops to make those shakes. Routine sampling of ice cream led to the implicated food. South Carolina was just doing some routine sampling, and that's how we discovered that the Bluebell ice cream could be the implicated product in this outbreak. And sampling product at the hospital identified a second facility with contamination. Examining the food history logs was very helpful in identifying commonalities among these patients. We had three deaths, and if anybody has tried to do a Listeria Initiative questionnaire with family members after a death, it can be quite difficult and quite hard to get really good, accurate information. So having those hospital food logs was very beneficial for us. Whole genome sequencing was really useful in relating patient strains with product. And if anybody has any questions.
The Bluebell, a great presentation, you did so much for so little. Did Bluebell change any of their processes or their products in response to this, or is there something about these little scoops that we have?
They actually found a lot of contamination in all three Bluebell ice cream facilities, and they have shut down all three facilities right now for cleaning. I'm not even sure that they're open yet. They're not? Am I hearing that they're not open yet?
Nothing on the shelf.
Right, right. I know someone was trying to sell Bluebell ice cream for like $150 a container down in Texas. I'm from Texas, and they love their Bluebell ice cream down there.
Thanks for that. I apologize if I missed this, but could you characterize the cases a little bit more in terms of ages and then immunocompromising conditions?
Sure. All of them had, like I said, all of them had hospital stays prior to their onset of illness, and all of them had pretty significant illnesses, not infectious disease illnesses. There was cancer and brain tumor, things like that. I didn't give the exact ages. They were all older adults because we had the three deaths, and they're all in that same geographic area, so we didn't want it to be identifying.
I was curious to know, did you guys attempt to do any additional case hospital?
Yes, I mean, we were working with the infection preventionist there, and they were under very high alert for any cases that could be, could have invasive disease, and they were testing.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.